Welcome to 9 to 5 Mac Daily for Wednesday, July 3rd, 2019. I'm Chance Miller. Today's episode of 9 to 5 Mac Daily is brought to you by Collide. Apple yesterday released the third developer betas of iOS 13, iPadOS 13, macOS Catalina, tvOS 13, and watchOS 6. iOS 13 Beta 3 specifically includes several notable changes compared to Beta 2. One of the coolest new features in iOS 13 Beta 3 is something called FaceTime Attention Correction. This feature makes sure that you're looking directly at the person you're talking to on FaceTime by making real-time adjustments to the image of your eyes so that you appear to be making eye contact with the person. To do this, FaceTime Attention Correction uses Apple's ARKit platform to create a depth map of your face and the position of your face. iOS 13 Beta 3 also suggests a new wired method for transferring data between devices. One of the assets shows an image of two iPhones connected to each other using some sort of cable. It's unclear how exactly this could be achieved given the current setup, because the iPhones feature a lightning port and Apple does not offer a lightning-to-lightning cable as of yet. We tried to make the new transfer options appear on a device running iOS 13 Beta 3 by resetting the device and going through the setup process manually, but no new options appeared just yet. You can read our full roundup of all of the iOS 13 Beta 3 changes at the links in the show notes below. In other news, a mysterious new MacBook Pro model from Apple has popped up at the FCC this week. This comes after Apple overhauled the MacBook Pro lineup in May with new Intel processors and a slightly revised keyboard. As with most FCC filings, details here are vague. The mysterious MacBook Pro is referred to as model A2159, which aligns with a model number that appeared in the Eurasian Economic Commission regulatory database last month. The filing says that this is a 13-inch MacBook Pro, but it does not offer any details beyond that. One possibility is that it's a spec-bumped model of the 13-inch MacBook Pro. Ming-Chi Kuo earlier this year said that Apple would launch a revised version of the 13-inch MacBook Pro with the option for 32GB of RAM. A report from IHS last week also said that Apple was planning a new model of the 13-inch MacBook Pro with internal improvements. Today's episode of 9 to 5 Mac Daily is brought to you by Collide. We're big Slack fans here at 9 to 5 Mac, and the folks at Collide have just launched a new product for teams that use Slack just like us. The new product from Collide integrates with your Slack team and messages your users directly when their Mac, Windows, and Linux devices aren't meeting your security policies. Your users will receive clear instructions about what is wrong and step-by-step instructions on how to fix it. And they can even confirm in real time that they resolved the problem directly in Slack. Keep your users in the loop and make them a part of the security team by going to collide.com. That's K-O-L-I-D-E.com, or using the link in the show notes below. We've talked a lot about Johnny Ive's departure from Apple over the last several days, and now my colleague Zach Hall has published his thoughts on the transition, and he's joining us today to go further in depth. Zach, why don't you tell us more about your thoughts on Johnny Ive's legacy at Apple and how it pertains to the Apple Watch?
Hey Chance, thanks. So my piece on Johnny Ive is called Apple Watch and the Legacy of Johnny Ive, Making Health Mainstream Through Design. And the thing that came to mind for me is that I don't think about Johnny Ive every day. And so when his departure from Apple was announced, I wasn't totally sure, you know, what to make of it, because I feel like Apple's design in terms of hardware has been set for a while, and you don't see new designs every year. So it's hard for me to understand, you know, what are the sort of immediate results of this. And even thinking about Johnny Ive's legacy, that it was clear from a lot of reporting and even interviews that he's done that the Apple Watch was something he was greatly involved in, both as a project idea and execution. And where Tim Cook and Jeff Williams and others at Apple are huge into the health aspects of the Apple Watch, that could have come in the form of nearly any type of wearable device that goes on the wrist. It could have looked like a Nike Field Band or, you know, more of a Fitbit. But I think it's clear from interviews that Johnny Ive clearly saw the need for the Apple Watch, you know, back when it was rumored, you know, we just called it the iWatch, that it needed to be more like a watch than like a wearable gadget, you know, even like a phone. And so I think that's what makes the Apple Watch mainstream and so appealing to people who don't care about health is that he nailed the basic formula for what the Apple Watch needs to be in terms of it being rooted in you know, the watch world. And you won't confuse it for a regular watch, but you also, you know, wouldn't confuse it for an electrocardiogram machine or, you know, some sort of a fall detection machine, which it does both and way more. So for me, the legacy of Johnny Ive is making health go mainstream and something that's totally hidden and hidden in the form of jewelry. So as we all think about, you know, Johnny Ive's departure and the next move where he forms his own firm and Apple's client, to me, it's the Apple Watch that sort of caps his career. And the way I summarize this is that basically, you know, I think the impact from making health go mainstream like this, that will have a bigger impact on customers' individual lives for a lifetime in a way that design can change through fashion. So the fashion of what does an iPhone look like, what does a, you know, iPad look like, that can change year to year. So I think it's a really big deal that this is one of the capstones to Johnny Ive's career.
Thanks, Zach. And everyone can read his piece at the link in the show notes below. Other things worth checking out on 9to5 Mac today include a piece from Ben Lovejoy in which he questions whether Apple has plans to release an Apple display for the masses, maybe one that's not quite as high-end as the new Pro Display XDR. Additionally, I published a look at a major update for the popular note-taking app Agenda, which now deeply integrates with Apple's Reminders app on iOS and macOS. Read both of those stories at the links in the show notes below. That wraps up another episode of 9to5 Mac Daily. My thanks to Clyde for sponsoring today's episode. Read all of these stories and more on 9to5mac.com. Follow me on Twitter at Chance H. Miller. And be sure to check back tomorrow for another episode of 9to5 Mac Daily.